All right, excellent, excellent. I am excited. I am excited. That was a great song. Praise the Lord for that song tonight, and really stirred my heart, encouraged me. And so tonight we want to do some things tonight as we get ready here on our last night here for this revival service. And we just want to definitely say thank you from my wife and I. We would truly like to thank all of you for being here this these last few days. There were some of you who came every single time that there was a service. And of course, there were some of you, we know that there were some circumstances that went beyond your control. There were some who had to go to the hospital and different things like that. But we know that there are some who made an effort to be here when they could be here. And we just want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart, because we know that a lot goes on, and there's a little bit of traffic in San Antonio, just a little bit. And so we know for some of you, like I said, and I just want to reiterate it and say it again, some of you are coming straight from work. You don't have a chance to go home and get something to eat. You just kind of just plop in. And so we just really want to say thank you so much for all the effort that you put in to encourage us, but also to hear from God. And I hope that you would have heard from God this week. And we definitely appreciate and thank you for that. My wife and I, we feel like we've gained a few pounds since we've been here. You all, from the time we got here with the basket, with the big basket, which we are so grateful of, we felt like movie stars. We're walking into the hotel with this big basket, So from that time to, other cookies and bread and meals and just a bunch of other things that you all have been giving to us, we say thank you, although our stomachs and our bodies do not say thank you. We want to say thank you. And anytime any of you are coming to the Bahamas, please get with Pastor Bez. He has my phone contact, and we would love to take you around and show you some of the sights. And you don't even have to pay us. We'll do it for free, all right? But we'll take you around, show you the church, show you some stuff that the taxi drivers won't show you. And we just want to have a good time in that. I think that's about it. So we need a verse for tonight, and so I want you to take your Bibles to Ezra chapter number 7. This is a verse that I've used before in camp, and I want us to use it as our starting verse tonight. And then I'm going to ask you to do something that I've not asked you to do before. So Ezra chapter number 7, this is going to be our prayer verse. The verse that we pray, because ultimately anything that happens must come from God. Cannot come from me. I cannot bring you anything. It has to come from God, so we have to ask God's help. So Ezra chapter 7, if you have it, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All right, let's all stand. Ezra chapter 7, and we are going to read verse number 10 of Ezra chapter 7. If this is in your Bible... Sorry, if you have your Bible in your hand, I want you to take a marker or take a pen and underline Ezra chapter 7, verse number 10. It is a wonderful verse for when you come to the house of God and to prepare you for it. It says, I'll read it first and then we'll all read it. It says, for Ezra prepared his heart to do three things. For Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, that's the Bible, that's the word of God, and to do it, that's his obedience, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments, that's to share what he heard. Those are 3 points. I will tell you this, if you come to a church service and you have those three things in mind, I promise you, you will leave with something. If you prepare your heart, now preparing your heart, just want to encourage you, when you come to church, maybe you're coming with your wife, you're coming with your family, you're coming by yourself, sit down in the car, turn the car off, all right, that's my accent coming out, sit down in the car, and maybe play a soft song, spend some time in prayer, say, God, I'm going into your house. Before you say hi to anyone, going into your house, God, teach me what you want me to learn. show me what you want me to do. God, help me to be prepared for what you have for me. There are going to be distractions. There are things that some of you left at work that may not have got done. Some of you got schoolwork. Some of you got all. Say, God, for the next hour and a half, I want to put all those things on the side. And I only want to hear from you. Turn your phone off. Say, God, I'm preparing my heart. Number two, God, whatever you tell me to do, I promise you I'm going to do my best to do it. With your strength, with your help, whatever you tell me to do, God, I want to do it. And God, after I hear from you, and after I do what you want me to do, I will share your word with other people. I will share what you taught me with other people. And if we could do those three things, I know it would be an encouragement to our Christian lives. And so let's have a word of prayer. And I'm going to have you pray and just say, God, three things. Prepare my heart. Help me to do it. And help me to teach it. So let's pray right now as we ask God for his help for tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for allowing us to have the strength to be here tonight. Thank you for your protection and getting us here. Some things that we just simply take for granted. We came on a wet road with people speeding by us, and you were able to get us here safely. I thank you for that. Thank you for having a church that the people of San Antonio can come to hear the word of God, can sing the praises of God, and have fellowship amongst the believers. God, we thank you for all that was done prior to tonight. We thank you for Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. God, we thank you for what was done in preparation before we even came. We thank you for what has been happening in this church from when Pastor Bez came. God, we just say thank you. Thank you for his family and how they have obviously had to assist and to help. Thank you for the leadership. Thank you for the individuals that are working. But God, all those things are in the past, and we need to hear from you for tonight. And so I pray that you would give us fresh word. Help us to hear exactly from you. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us. And we ask, God, that you would use my lips and my mouth and my thoughts for your honor and for your glory. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight, I am going to ask you to do something that I've not asked you to do yet. Is everyone okay?
Yes.
Everyone good?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to ask a favor of you, please. I'm going to ask that if you are seated in either this section or this section, I would like, when I say go, if you would leave the section where you're at and come into this section. I'm going to ask that those that are in this section and this section, when I say go, if you would just quietly please get up and find somewhere to sit in this section. You can go, please. We're good? The question that we have tonight, after you've been here this week, some of you have been coming, some of you, this might be your first night out because of circumstances, it's your first night out. You go through the whole process of having a preacher come. You got to get his plane ticket, you got to get a hotel, you got to get food, you got to, you know, take care of the preacher. Then you got to get the people to commit and see the importance of coming out Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And there's a whole lot of stuff that goes into a week like this week or a half week like this half week. I'm sure that there were prayer times where people said, hey, we got to get together, we need to pray. And that's one of the greatest things that you can do for a week of meetings, revival, missions conference, whatever it is to pray for not only the preacher who is coming to be prepared to preach, but also for you to be prepared to receive. And all these messages that you've heard, and you've heard, some of you have said, hey, the message spoke to me, and that really encourages me to let me know that God used the message to encourage you. But you kind of get to the point where you say, okay, now what? Enjoyed the messages. It's nice, preacher, your wife, you, nice. But what do I do with all this information? Is a week like this week simply for information to give you information, and that's it? And now we could say, well, at least now you know. I don't think Pastor Bez would say that all of what was put in for this week to come together was simply for you to have information in your head. The point of a week of revival, the point of an emphasis on revival, and you got to remember, revival, the word revival has the first words or the first letters meaning revive. You can't revive something that was never alive. You can only revive something that was once alive, and you get it back to a state of living or action and make it more healthy or back to health. But the purpose is for you not to simply know what to do. It's to do what you know. So it's not simply to have a lot of information and say, hey, now I learned some stuff about God is jealous, and I learned some stuff about this, and I learned, hey, that's great, and we had some great songs and great times. That's fine. But this week is not about just simply getting information. It's using the information that you have gotten. And so tonight, with Ezekiel chapter 7, preparing your heart to hear the word, getting ready to do the word, and getting ready to teach the word. I want you to take your Bibles with me and let's go to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Luke, chapter number 5. In Luke chapter number 5, verse number 4, the Bible says, and when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, please read the next 5 words for me. All right, say it one more time. And let down your nets for a draught. Now that you have heard the messages, you've received the information, now it is time to launch out. Now it is time to take what you've been given and use it. I will promise you that not only was it occurring this week, but it will occur tomorrow, tonight, next week, when you are in a position of receiving this kind of information, and I'm sure that you receive this kind of information often. If you didn't, I probably would not be here. But because you've been receiving this information and now God is starting to speak to you and you're seeing yourself and you're saying, hey, there's some things that I have to do. I got to grow. I got to make some decisions. What's going to happen is you're going to get some attacks. But you can't focus on the negative. You got to focus on the positive. And the positive is this. God wants to do something with you, but you have to launch out. So tonight, the message is to help us to launch out. So let's look at, as we get into the message tonight, let's look at the background to launch out. Go to verse number one, please. The Bible says, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. All right, so a couple of thoughts, and then we're going to look at some stuff real quick. The Lake Gennesaret is also the Sea of Galilee. It is the largest freshwater lake in Israel. And it is approximately 53 kilometers in circumference and length and width and what have you. So this is really the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret. And if you were to look on a map, I know that's kind of far, right? But that's the general area where the Sea of Galilee is in Israel. But if you get a little closer, if you see that spot, this thing has a clicker, right? All right, Sea of Galilee right here. So what's happening in this particular account in Scripture is happening right here. Anybody with me? And if you want an idea of how that looks in modern day Israel, it looks like this. So this whole account happens at the Sea of Galilee. Okay? It says, verse number one again, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. So what would happen is the fame of Jesus went before him. And so when Jesus would go to a place, people would hear that he is coming, and there would literally be a pushing or prodding for people to get into the front of the line to hear him. So that what was happening was there was this press, there was this pushing. And as people were coming, they were coming for a few things. Sometimes people came because they wanted to see a miracle. And they had heard about Jesus healing the blind man, healing the lame man, even raising Lazarus from the dead. So for some of them, they came for healing. But in this instance, the Bible says something specifically that I just want to point out and encourage us with. Can someone read that verse number one and tell me why were the people there to see Jesus? To hear the word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say this. We sometimes may look at a person, and we may look at them, and they may have a bunch of tattoos and earrings and scars, and they got this mean face, and they're walking around. And we look at them, and we say, hey, there's no way they want to hear about God. Let me tell you something. Sometimes those are the main people who want to hear the word of God. Yeah. Never take for granted that you know the word of God, and that someone that you pass by or someone that you know actually wants to hear the word of God. These people in this specific instance were not coming, because the Bible says it, they were not coming just to simply see Jesus do something. They were coming to hear the word of God. I love this saying where it says, you can never send the gospel to the wrong address. And so maybe tonight, as you leave out tonight, you get some chick tracks, you get some gospel tracks, and you say, you know what? Next person I see, I want to give them the word of God. Because, ladies and gentlemen, people are still wanting to hear the word of God. So the people came and they pressed upon Jesus. So there was this great big crowd of people and they heard about Jesus. And so all these people now, they're gathering together and they're coming together because they want to hear the word of the Lord. Well, don't forget where all of this is happening. All of this is happening by the Sea of Galilee, Lake Gennesaret. So all this is happening. And as the people are coming together, Jesus, of course, has to kind of go back because the crowd is coming. So he kind of goes back and okay, everyone kind of go back. Okay. And now he's at the brink of the lake of the Sea of Galilee. He's here. If he goes anymore, he would be in the water. Okay, that's where we're at. So he says now in verse number 1, and it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships. How many ships? And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. So here's what Jesus saw. He looked as he was getting pressed. He looked and he said, hey, there are two ships. And there was something about these specific ships. It says, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them. So the boats were empty. The boats were empty. So we're getting the background. We're kind of seeing what's happening. We're setting up the scene. We're setting up the plan of what's actually happening. The people are coming to hear what? Jesus is talking and he's getting ready now to speak and to preach, but he's getting pushed because the people are pressing. Everybody's trying to get in the front. Everybody's moving. I want to hear Jesus move. I want to hear Jesus. And so they push, and they get him right back to the Sea of. So he turns over to one side. He sees how many boats? And two of the boats were empty. Two boats were empty. And Jesus is going to use one of those boats. And do you know why Jesus is going to use one of those boats? Because they're empty. Because Jesus could only use things that are empty. Or might I say, Jesus can only use vessels that are empty. If you're looking at your life and you're saying to yourself, I don't really see God using me. I don't see what God's doing in my life. Might it be that your vessel is full of yourself? And Jesus cannot fill you with his Holy Spirit's power or control you with his Holy Spirit's power because you are too full of yourself. You're too full of your own desires. You're too full of your own plans. You're too full of your own goals. And Jesus simply can't use you because you're too full of yourself. He can use two vessels. He's going to use only one, but he can use these vessels because they are empty. Maybe tonight, some of you need to say, God, I want to just say that I'm empty, or I'm emptying myself tonight of my dreams, my goals, my desires, and I simply want to do what you want me to do. Amen. For me, that happened when I was in, the 12th grade. I love the ocean. I love the ocean. I love swimming. I love snorkeling. I'm from the Bahamas, so you know, I love the ocean. And my goal and my plan and my dream was to be a marine biologist. Anyone in here wanted to be a marine biologist? Okay, good. And that was my plan. My plan was I was going to be a marine biologist, and I started kind of, you know, talking to different people and trying to find the best college. And then here comes this gentleman by the name of Evangelist John Crabb. And I want you to get the picture. Here is a 17-year-old black guy from the Bahamas. That's a little joke. No, we'll leave that alone. Here's a 17-year-old black Caribbean boy in high school from the Bahamas, and here is this 50-something-year-old white gentleman from America. And he comes to preach at New Testament Baptist Church, our home church, and we go like this. Before the service, we talk. After the service, we talk. Every time I see him, hey, how are you? Hey, how are you? For that whole week, we were like this, Brother Felipe. We were like this. And I wanted to be a marine biologist, and then he left. Just like how we're going to leave tomorrow, God willing, he left. And then I'd be sitting down, and God would say, why don't you be a preacher like how Brother John Crabb is a preacher? And I said, you talking to me? God says, yeah, why don't you be a preacher? Why don't you go in full-time ministry? And not be a marine biologist? Yeah, no, I don't want you to be a marine biologist. I want you to be a preacher. Okay. My plans changed. And I had to say, God, it's not about what I want. I love the ocean, but it's not about what I want. God, what I want is I want your blessing. I want your power. I want you to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And so for me, that was the time when I said, okay, God, I'll be an empty vessel, and I'll just do whatever you want me to do. And I hope and pray that every single person here gets to that point where you simply say, God, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do. And so he saw these two boats, and we just keep going. He saw these two boats, and it says in verse number 3, and he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's. Okay, Simon Peter. This is before he was a disciple. And prayed him. Now, Jesus is asking Simon a question. He's praying. This is a request. He's saying, Simon, may I please use your boat? Notice what it says, verse number 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out. What's the next two words? Just a little. I want you to mark those two words in your Bible. A little. He says, I want you to just kind of go back, thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. You got it? We good? Yeah. Everybody with me? Yeah. Jesus is teaching. People are coming to hear.
The word of God.
He goes back. He's now pushed up to the Sea of
Galilee.
He sees. They are. He gets into one. The one that owns it is. Goes in. Now he teaches. And all he asks Simon to do is allow him to get into the boat and just go back a little from the land. Just enough, far enough to where I could kind of use my voice loudly, but close enough where they can hear me. And that would be a pretty boring message. Then it says, he goes from a request to a command. And he says, verse 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, what's the next two words? He goes from asking a request to making a demand. And he says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. The word launch out means to lead or to put out. In other words, Simon could have gotten pretty comfortable by simply allowing his boat to be used by going out a little. See, God will sometimes ask us to do things for his kingdom, for his glory, for his honor, for his house, for his service. Sometimes, Brother Ashton, God will ask us to do things that only takes a little bit of time. That only takes a little bit of money. That only takes a little bit of effort. And sometimes we kind of feel pretty good and we say, well, yes, I'm going to do that for God. God wants me to do this and it's only going to cost a few bucks. And I got a few bucks. It's only going to cost a little bit of time and I got some time. It's only going to cost a little bit of effort. And I got the effort. I got the energy. So guess what, God? I'm willing to use my vessel to go back just a little bit enough for you to use me to do your work. And that's good. That's good. Guess what? We all have to start somewhere. And I believe God will do certain things and he will just say, I want you to take this step and this step and this step and this step. But there's going to come a time when you will have to leave the shallow and go into the deep. So God says, launch out. Now, some of you are sitting here and you're saying, well, Brother Kwame, that's not a major request. Simon's occupation was a fisherman. And Jesus is asking Simon, or commanding, really, Simon, and he says, Simon, I want you to go from the shallow to the deep to catch some fish. By the way, just so you understand, the shallow represents what is comfortable. The shallow represents what is easy. The shallow represents what is attainable. The shallow represents what is par for the course. The shallow represents the status quo. It's simple. It's easy. I can handle that. Oh, I could do that. That's the shallow. And that's where some of you are right now. That's okay because we all got to start somewhere. But for some of you, God wants you to go out into the deep. And you say, preacher, what was this whole week about? Maybe this whole week was about you getting ready to go out into the deep. So he says, launch out into the deep. Here are some thoughts. Maybe God wants you to launch out into the deep in your prayer life. I don't want you to turn there. I'm just going to read these just to kind of give you some verses. In Luke chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Jesus prayed all night. And I don't know how long your prayer time is, and it's not really for me to know anyway. But maybe God wants you to go deeper in your prayer life. Maybe God wants you to spend more time in prayer. Maybe God wants you to pray more specifically so that you don't just pray, God bless my day, but you pray so specifically for certain things that you actually see God begin to answer your requests. Because my only issue with saying, God bless my day, is how do you know whether or not he blessed your day? You say, well, I didn't have a bad day. Well, sometimes God uses bad things to bless us. heard of a man who broke his leg. He got upset, he broke his leg, but he found when he broke his leg, he went to the hospital and found out he had cancer. And the only way he found that out was he broke his leg. So you may say, well, he had a bad day because he broke his leg. No, he had a blessed day because he broke his leg. But how is your prayer life? Is your prayer life in the shallow, easy, or is your prayer life in the deep? How about your love? Say, well, I think I kind of love. Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, ye have heard that it has been said that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Jesus is speaking, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Whoa. You know what that is? That's a deep kind of love. That's not the love where you love me, I love you. That's shallow. We could all do that. But the love God might be calling you today or tonight to is a love where there is someone in your life that is so wicked and so mean and so disrespectful and so angry towards you, but God is telling you it's time to take your love to the deep and for you to love your enemies. It could be a deep level of prayer. It could be a deep level of love. It could be a deep level in the word. The Bible says in Job 23:12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more necessary, more than my necessary food. It might be for some of you that you say, well, hey, hold on. For some of you, you say, guess what? I come to church, and when I come to church, I hear the word of God. And God said, now guess what? Now it's time for you to get a little bit deeper. Now you need to be getting the word of God in your home. Or maybe now you need to start telling other people about the word that you learned. You're keeping the word to yourself. That's great. You're getting the word for yourself. That's excellent. You got to get it first. But maybe God's saying, now it's time to go into the deep. And maybe now it's time for you to start sharing the word. Maybe God wants you to get deeper in your faith. And he says, now it's time to show some faith. In Matthew 17, verse 20, it says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And maybe tonight you have some mountains in your life, and you haven't figured out how in the world are you going to get around this mountain. How are you going to get up this mountain? How are you going to get past this mountain? And God says if you would just have the faith, you could remove that mountain. And maybe God wants you to have a deeper level of faith in him. He says launch out into the deep. And maybe God wants you to have a deeper level of giving. Now we say, a lot of times we hear preachers say that the tithe belongs to God, 10%. Does the tithe belong to God? Yes, it does. Tithe is 10%. The only problem I have with that statement is this. If you tell me that a tenth, if I have $100, and you're telling me that $10 out of that $100 belongs to God, by process of elimination, that means that the 90% belongs to me. Does that make sense? 10% belongs to God. Therefore, 90% belongs to me. Ladies and gentlemen, 100% belongs to God. And he asked us to give at least 10% back to him. See, because if you go over here thinking, well, this 90%, hey, this $90 is my $90, then you're going to use that $90 however it pleases you. But if you recognize that $100 belongs to God, and at least $10 goes to the house of God, and the other $90 really belongs to God, but you are simply a steward of that $90, it will cause you now to use that $90 with God in mind. In fact, the Bible says this. Some people like to use this argument, which is fine. I actually agree with the argument, you know. I agree with the argument. Some people say, well, tithing isn't in the New Testament. I don't have a problem if you say that. Now, there's some, of course, they talk about the Pharisees with tithing and some other ones. I don't even argue if someone says that tithing is not in the New Testament. Listen to this verse in the book of Acts, chapter number 4, verse 36 and 37. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So you have a choice. You could either say, well, at least I'll give 10%, or you could sell your land, your house, your car, and bring the money and lay it here at the church feet. So I don't even argue with people who say, well, tithing's not really permitted in the New Testament. The Bible actually says in the New Testament, God loves a cheerful giver. The Bible actually says in the New Testament, the amount that you give is the amount that you will get back. And all I'm saying is this, ladies and gentlemen, all I'm saying is this. Maybe God wants you to go deeper in your giving. Because for too long, you may have been in the shallow. Now, you listen to this whole thing, and you say, that's the deep water. Okay, I got it. And you say, what was God's promise? So far, right now, for some of you who have never read this, here's what we got. Jesus is asking Simon to go fishing so he could catch a lot of fish. But there is a part to this story or this account that we haven't read yet. We're going to read it now. Now, verse number 4, let's get the context. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. A draught is a huge amount of fish. Verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So here's what we got. Simon Peter, the previous night, had gone out fishing. He went out fishing, ladies and gentlemen, and he caught nothing. He went out fishing all night, and he had caught nothing. So what he was doing when Jesus was teaching the people, let's go back to verse number 3. Oh, sorry, verse number 2. Says, and Jesus saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were, what's the next 3 words? They were washing their nets. They were, when you go fishing with your nets, all kind of stuff gets in it. You get rocks, you get sand, you get seaweed, they get into the net. So while Jesus is teaching, they're cleaning out the nets. They're sleepy. They're tired. They're exhausted. And they're frustrated because they didn't catch nothing. And they had probably gotten to a point. Now you're going to understand why we did what we did. They probably got to a point, as some of you got to a point after we prayed, and you said, all right. Got my Bible right here. I got everything right here. Joshua, you good? You good? All right. All right, my kids over here. Everyone sitting there. All right, this way I normally sit in church. Let me cross my legs. All right, preacher, let's hear this message. All right, get up and go to the other side. See, that's why I don't like these preachers, you know. They kill me. Now you got to get up. But see, this right here represents your comfort zone. This right here, watch now, this right here represents where you chose to sit. This right here represents, okay, I finished standing, we finished songs, now I could take it easy. And so here was Simon Peter. Simon had just finished fishing. They didn't catch anything. They are frustrated. They are angry. They are tired. They're probably wet. They're just looking to this whole thing and they're saying, I can't wait to get some sleep. My whole life is about fishing. I'm a fisherman and I couldn't even get one fish. I don't even want to see that boat anymore. I don't want to see those nets anymore. I'm tired. And God says, get up and go do something that I want you to do. And ladies and gentlemen, when we say what these men did, this wasn't just pulling the boat out, throwing over your line. This is what these men had to do. These men had to get the boat, get their nets, take their boat out, the same nets they had already cleaned, the same nets they had already taken the seaweed out of, the same net they had already taken the sand and the rocks out of, the same water that they had not caught anything, they have to go out. And Jesus, because of Jesus, Jesus says, go out into the deep. And these men had to go back. And they had to go. And they had to work. They had to toil. But Jesus had given them a promise. And his promise was this. If you go out in the deep, you're going to catch a lot of fish. But if you stay on the shore, you won't catch nothing. But preacher, I believe God's calling me to do something, but preacher, I just think it's too hard. That's probably because he wants you to go in the deep. Preacher, I think God wants me to do something, but it's going to take too much time. That's probably because he wants you to go into the deep. Preacher, I think God wants me to do something, but he's asking me to give more than I could see that I have in front of me. Preacher, I got some stuff going on, and I don't know how God is going to do this. That is the best place to be. When you cannot explain what God is going to do, you're just following his command to launch out. Amen. This week was not about you to get some good messages and sit in your same pew, listening to the same preaching, and going home to your same house, driving your same car. This week was about launching out to do something you may have never done before in your Christian life. Amen. That's what this week is about. And sometimes in order for God to do something great, he has to get you from where you're used to being to where you're uncomfortable. From where you chose to sit to where he tells you to sit. Simon Peter said, Master, let me tell you some things. We've been fishing all night. We've been rowing all night. It's late. I'm tired. Listen, don't mess with me when I'm tired. Don't like it. How many of you are like that? I know some of you night owls in here, you can stay up till 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Wicked people. No, you're not wicked. You're not wicked. You could stay up. It doesn't bother you. Once you see a certain time, my eyes start going down. I'm not listening anymore. I'm ready to go lay down. And you could imagine these disciples and how frustrating it is to do something that you're supposed to be good at and you don't catch no fish. And maybe God's telling you to go right back to that person you've been witnessing to and you've got no way with that person. God says, go back and witness to him and love on him. Go right back to that class that you've been teaching and nobody seems to understand it. Go back to that class and teach them. Maybe some of you say, well, I don't know how I'm going to do it. That's the best place to be. Just launch out into the deep. God will do the rest. So he says, launch out. But the promise was, if you launch out, you're going to catch something. So they launched out, and they had a decision to make. He could either follow the words of God, or he could either follow human logic. And he says in verse, Simon says in verse number 5, at the end of verse number 5, nevertheless, at thy word, not at my emotion. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you cannot base your Christian life off of emotions. Amen. Because emotions change. Emotions wander and go back and forth. The big word is vacillate. They go from one to the next. You cannot do what you want to do or what God wants you to do based on how you feel. You have to base it on God's word. So there was a decision to make. Now let's read verse number 6. It says, and when they had done this, do you know what the this is? Obeyed God's word. You with me? Obey God's word. It says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. They went out there, same boat, same nets, same lake, same fishermen, but when God steps in, it's a different result. Because a lot of times, ladies and gentlemen, here's the reason we're not seeing the results we expect to see. It's because we're doing it in the flesh, not in the spirit. And we're trying to do things our way. But once Simon got in that boat and he said, I'm going to follow your words, Jesus, boom. They caught more fish than they can handle, Pastor Bears. I can tell you this much. I don't know how much fish they caught. Like the number. I don't know how much fish they caught. But I know the number of fish they would have caught if they had stayed on the water, on the dry land. I know how much fish they would have caught if they had listened to themselves. But see, here's the thing. God wants to do some things in us, but he can't do great miracles when we only have small faith. He can't do great miracles when we only have small obedience. The only way he's going to do something great is if our faith is great. So these men caught so much fish that the same net that they were cleaning is now broken. They went from having to clean a net to having to mend a net. So what happens in verse number 6? And when they had done this, when they had listened to the words of Jesus, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Good night. This was an amazing thing that happened. The same water. The same San Antonio. The same net. The same word. The same vessel. The same you. But when you put Jesus in the mix, amen, you get a different result. Yeah. Once this happened, here's what happened to Simon. Verse number 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Let me ask you a question. And I ask myself this question. I'm asking you and I'm asking myself. When was the last time God did something like this in your life? Just think about it. When was the last time God did something so great in your life that you had to call for help to get the blessings that God was pouring out on you? When was the last time? When was the last time you had so much people come to church, you had to ask some people to come help you pick up the people you had to pick up? When was the last time you saw God bless miraculously financially to where you had to get biblical counsel on how to handle your finances because you never had that much money before? And I'm not here to talk about money being the only blessing, by the way. Okay, I'm not one of those preachers. So please do not think that money means blessings. But I'm asking you, because what you should do with the money is to use it for the honor and glorification of God. I'm just asking you, when was the last time God did something in your life that was so unusual that you had to get someone to help you to get the blessing? And if you say, "Preacher, I don't know the last time that's happened," then we got to come to one of two conclusions. If you don't know, or if I don't know, the last time something like that's happened in my life, either A, I'm still in the shallow, or B, God stopped doing miracles. Amen. It's only two conclusions you could come up to. There's no real other conclusion. Either I am in the shallow and I can't get a big blessing, because you can't get a big blessing if you're in the small water.
Wow. That's a good.
Or God has stopped doing miracles. And I can give you a hint. I can talk a little Bahamian. He ain't stopped doing miracles yet.
Amen.
He is waiting to simply pour out his power on people to show what he can do. He's waiting to see a church. You know what could happen? He's waiting to see a church that has his blessing, his power, to where the church says, "What are we supposed to do with all these people? We don't have enough chairs. We got to go rent chairs from someplace because there's too much people." And not that people and the numbers mean blessing. I'm simply saying, when was the last time God did something so amazing that we had to get help to receive his blessing? Says, wow. Then he says this. He says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." I'm just going to say this part. Do you know why we don't view God the way that we should? Because we don't see the full potential of what he can do in our life. If you walked up to somebody and they gave you $10,000 and they said, "Hey, guess what? God laid it on my heart to give you $10,000. You don't have to pay it back. Anybody in here could use $10,000? Person comes to you and says, hey, God laid it on my heart. A person in the church comes up to you and says, God laid it on my heart. Give you $10,000. Here's $10,000. You don't have to pay me back. I guarantee you this. You can look at that person different than when you first met that person. Brother Cruz, you can look at that person and you're going to be like, okay, now he's the man. Before, he was a man. Now he is the man. Because when you see someone do something like that for you, it changes your perception. It changes the way you look at that man. See, the problem with Christianity today is this. We are looking at the men and not the master. And we are trying to be impressed by the man behind the pulpit instead of the God of the man behind the pulpit. The question is, when was the last time you saw God do something not in your pastor or in this person or in this deacon? When was the last time you saw God do something great in your life? Because when you see God do something great in your life, you know what's going to happen? You're going to say, oh God, you're great and I am not. Oh God, I am sinful and you are holy. Oh God, I did not know how you did that, but I just know it was you. Oh God, you deserve the worship and the praise. But when we live in the shallow, God can't do this, so we don't really worship God. He says this. Verse 9. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus is going to throw a curveball. And Jesus said unto them, fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men. I just spent the last 35, 40 minutes preaching on fish. And Jesus switches it up at the end and says, the same way, if you get out of your comfort zone, even though you have toiled all night, even though you're tired, even though you've caught nothing, even though you might be an expert in that field, if you and I would get out of the shallow and go into the deep at the word of God, whatever that is for each person in here, and each person it's different because all of us are on different levels. If you and I obey the words of Christ, we will see the salvation of souls like we have never seen before. This isn't a message about catching fish. This is a message about catching men for Jesus Christ, and women for Jesus Christ, and children for Jesus Christ, and abused for Jesus Christ, and widows for Jesus Christ, and single mothers for Jesus Christ, and orphans for Jesus Christ, and the sickly for Jesus Christ. That's what God wants to do. Not with we such Baptist Church. That's what he wants to do with you. And we such would be the beneficiary of the amount of fish God wants to use you to catch. Because when you catch the fish, you got to take them somewhere. See, this wasn't about all the disciples, you know. You know who this was for? This was for Peter. Just one man. The others caught on. But this was a lesson for Peter to say, Peter, the same way you could catch that amount of fish is the same way you could catch that amount of men. And you and I, well, really you, could reach San Antonio and catch a draught of fish, a draught of men, a draught of women, a draught of children, and then bring them, after they get saved, then bring them to the house of God at Wesatch to get discipled and trained for ministry. But none of this would happen if you stay in the comfort zone. I was moved because when I made the request to everybody to move, and I'm so sorry I forgot your name, the lady sitting right in front of Brother Josh, Miss Elia, and I saw her stand up, and we have already spoken this week, and I know she's got some pains, and I saw her move. You know what that told me? There's no excuse why we can't do what God wants us to do. There's no excuse why we can't move from our comfort. If she could move from her comfort zone, what excuse we got? We might lose a little sleep. We might lose a little money. But we can catch a lot of men. We can catch a lot of women. And my prayer and desire is that after everything we've heard this week, let's launch out. Let's show San Antonio out there what happened in here. I always try to be very careful with invitations because there's two things that could happen in an invitation. You could have a high-powered invitation and people begin to come forward because you make them feel guilty. Okay, I've been in churches like that. And the preacher would preach and he would talk in the invitation and it's like, okay, if I don't go forward, these people here are going to look at me and say, oh, well, he's wicked, so let me just go forward. So I try not to be very high pressured with invitations. The other thing that can sometimes happen is that people start coming forward because they see other people coming forward and they don't want to be the only one in their seat. And so I think that's one of the reasons why we say bow your head and close your eyes, so that way you're not doing it for anybody. It's just between you and the Lord. So let me say this. If you decide to come forward tonight, that's great. But I also recognize that simply coming forward doesn't mean that you're going to launch out into the deep. If you decide to stay in your seat, maybe you're like Miss Elia. Maybe you're like someone else. Maybe you got some of the pain. Maybe your child is asleep on your lap. And you may be sitting in your seat, but you know what? In your heart, you say, I'm going to launch out. So my goal is not to make anyone feel guilty or anyone feel like you have to or because of this or because of that. It's simply between you and God. I told you already, I make a horrible Holy Spirit. Don't do it because of me. But what I would like for us to do tonight, if you are able and if you feel God is asking you to do it, I would like for us to pray for those who believe that God wants them to launch out into the deep. So whether you come or sit, that's fine. I would even say this. If you want to stay in your seat, you can stay in your seat. And when I'm going to have Pastor Bears pray, when Pastor Bears prays, you just raise your hand to say, I didn't come forward. My child's on my lap. My leg's hurting. Something's going on. But I'm standing up there in my heart. Because I don't want people to move just to move. I want people to launch out. Jesus wants you to launch out. And so let's have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Because I want it to be a personal decision. I don't want it to be something forced or coerced. And Father, I simply ask that you would have your will and way in this invitation, God. I don't know if I did a good job explaining. And God, I know that the invitation is just that, simply an invitation, and that there has to be movement after the invitation. But God, we want to pray for these people tonight who want to launch out. And those who might be seated who want to launch out. And so help us to see that. And I pray that only those who move are those you want to move. So God, meet with us tonight. I'm going to ask if God has spurred your heart to launch out with heads bowed and eyes closed, because it's not a show, it's not for everyone to watch. Would you come forward tonight as we have Pastor Bez pray for you tonight? Would you come? And if you come, would you please stay so that we can have a word of prayer for you tonight?